Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Hello and welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Sulo Krishnamurthy from Handicare. So tell me a little bit about the history of Handicare.
Yeah, Handicare International was born and registered as a registered charity, Canadian federally registered charity, in 1992. It came as a result of family passion and motivation. I have two siblings, a brother and a sister, both born with muscular dystrophy. And my brother was very severe and he was unable to walk. My sister was much better until after her teenagers. But the challenges the family faced was putting them through school and social stigma and like mobility issues, access issues, all those kind of things. So my father was a great visionary and he had a great mission that he sought after. He wanted to create awareness within the community, within families, within rural areas about access issues, about handling the people with the disabilities and treating them with respect and dignity. So my father took it upon himself that education is the main key to success in spite of any physical limitations. So he put both my brother and sister through higher education. My brother became a chartered accountant and he's brilliant by nature. And so he excelled in everything he did. My sister did her PhD in commerce, and she became a professor of commerce and the head of the department. So my brother and my sister and my family decided to spread this in rural areas. So they started something called Amar Seva Sangam in the southern part of India, in a rural area comprising of several villages. So they initially started with a small school with only 25 children. And at that point in 1991, my brother sought my help. And I thought about it, and it was my passion to get involved. So I resigned my job as a research chemist in a pharmaceutical company. And then I started looking into having Handicare International registered, and I got it done within a short time. And from that point on, our focus has been doing fundraising and implementing programs, projects, and supporting Amar Seva Sangam and a few other institutions in India who serve the community of disabled.
So what are some of the programs offered by Handicare today?
Last year we started expanding our horizon into Canada as well. We are supporting some of the children with cerebral palsy to go through their SDR surgeries, which is not available in Canada, and also the post-operative rehab. But basically, 95% of our support has been going to rural India, mainly to Amar Seva Sangam to implement education, rehabilitation, vocational training, higher education, and the empowerment of children, youth, and adults with disabilities. We started with a population of youngsters who were affected with polio. That was 25 years ago. And over a period, polio has been eradicated, and there has been a significant rise in the incidence of children born with delayed development and cerebral palsy, autism, things like that. So we started expanding the program to help these children as well. So we have built a center for special education at Amar Seva Sangam that has served over 500 children with mental disabilities, moving them on to either integrating into schools or families or into higher education like vocational training and eventually finding jobs for them. And recently we have started an initiative called Early Intervention. These are for children under the age of 6. As soon as they are diagnosed with some kind of delayed development, we put them right into the program. We started with about 50 children, and now it has grown to 450 children, comprising of 800 villages in the rural area. And so we run our program through 11 centers. Each center is fully equipped with all the equipment and fully staffed with special therapists. And so it has been an extremely successful program. Many of these children have shown significant improvement in their functionality. And so we hope to take this forward because there are a lot more children in the waiting list. And we are applying for Grand Challenges Canada funding for this purpose. So to make this a success, and in order to sustain the children that we have and to take on more children, we are having a fundraising program on November 12th. It's a dinner banquet at Chandni Banquet Hall in Brampton, and the tickets are only $60 per adult. But we are requesting everyone to do a sponsorship. They can sponsor a child for an endowment of $2,000 that will take care of a lifetime care for that child, or an yearly sponsorship for $400. And with this Grand Challenges matching grant, once it's approved, we'll be able to double the amount and serve these children for a longer period and take on more children.
So in your time with Handicare, what's been the greatest success that you've witnessed?
Can you say that again?
In your time with Handicare, what's been the greatest success moment that you've experienced?
Oh, there are several. Every time I visit India every year, I visit our projects and I visit the children. The greatest joy I have is seeing all these children smile in spite of their physical immobility or even their mental challenges. They smile, they laugh, and they love to be surround me and show what they can do because they are placed in a situation where there is no disability felt by them. They are in the midst of their own group, plus they are integrated with the so-called normal population as well. So everyone understands each other, and it's a great, big, happy family. And that has been a very, very rewarding experience for me.
So if you could send any message about the need for Handicare and programs like it, what would you say?
I would say we have crossed a lot of milestones. We started from basically nothing to building, like crossing so many barriers, like accessibility, acceptability, the stigma surrounding disability. All those issues, there has been a great improvement in rural India, but that's not the case in the rest of India. There's still a lot more work to be done. And in Canada, we do have everything. We have all the system, we have all the government support, we have the community people support and everything. Yet there are some access issues in many areas. For example, most of the parks in in the neighborhoods. They don't have accessible swings or slides. So access has been an issue in Toronto area, which we hope to progress ourselves to a level of offering more and more services and get more help for these children, as well as the post-SDR surgery. The children who have gone through the SDR surgery need intense post-rehab therapies. We hope to help them out as well. So basically, our future vision and goal is to spread out further into India and in Canada as well.
So where can people go to find out more about the fundraiser you mentioned, or just Handicare in general?
Well, we have a website, a very functional, updated day-to-day website. It's www.handicareintl, that is handicareintl.org. And everything is there, including the fundraising program information. And there is a donate button. They can just click on it and do online donations or send us a check. And they can select as to which program they want to support, whether they want to support the sponsorship of a child or just offering meals to the poor children in India, or to the SDR or the post-SDR surgery in Canada. They can select what they want to donate for, and every penny will go towards their choice. At this point, I also want to mention Handicare International is a volunteer-driven organization, and our admin costs are less than 3%. I use my home as an office, and I'm a volunteer, so is everyone else. So less than 3% are our admin charges. Those are basically unavoidable expenses. The rest of it goes towards the charitable programs.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure.
HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
WalkSafe is a free service provided for all students, faculty, employees, and visitors at the University of Windsor. It is a student staff volunteer program designed to help people get to their vehicle, home, apartment, or residence on or off campus at night. WalkSafe was designed to provide additional safety to the university community in cooperation with campus community police. All you need to do is dial 0 from any university phone and ask for WalkSafe, or extension 3504. Walk safe, not alone.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Sulo Krishnamurthy from Handicare International. Coming up next, we'll hear from our good friend Joanna Zine. There's more to her story than has been told in previous episodes. To find out what, stay tuned. So, you were telling me that you actually have a type of anxiety disorder. And since a lot of people out there can relate, can you share a little bit of the history of your own condition?
Yeah, sure. I think my story starts off a lot like other people's who've had trouble with mental health issues. You don't know that you have mental health issues, and you're definitely not going to think that that's the first thing that's wrong with you. So I was probably 16 when I finally had like a bad breakthrough, like I can't take this anymore. My body can't take this anymore, and I was so stressed out when I was 16 that I thought I had IBS, and I was going through a lot of the symptoms that people with Crohn's go through. So my family was really scared for me, and I was scared. So that's when I started doing a lot of that medical testing on myself, and my mom really supported me through all of this because obviously she cared and wanted to know what was going on with me too. So I probably 8 months after my first, like, collapse, I was finally diagnosed with IBS and started off on my medication, which actually helped a lot with the symptoms, but I'm not the best person at taking pills. So I would miss certain things like the L-glutamine you're supposed to take, and I'd miss different nights with castor oil. So it was bad, but I still healed a lot.
Well, when it comes to things like mental health and anxiety, that can lead to all sorts of other conditions. So you may have been dealing with the symptoms of one thing, the underlying cause, still.
Yeah, and actually, I'm not afraid. This is why I volunteered for Crohn's and colitis, right? I still have the symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome every once in a while if I'm not carefully watching my diet, which everybody knows is the most impossible thing to do. If you want Pringles, you're going to eat them. And then...
We got Pringles in here?
I do. So it's something that can happen to you, and it never really goes away unless you really take care of yourself.
So what's been the biggest support system in terms of dealing with your anxiety?
Even this, I think, isn't too different from other people's experiences. My mom really took care of me and still takes care of me, and my sister and my brother as well. My family is so close and has always been there, and listened when I've had something to share with them and really helped me out, especially with hospital appointments. If you've ever been to the hospital, it is the worst thing on earth because you have to wait for so freaking long to get into a room.
So what were some of the challenges in coming to grips with the fact that you were struggling with anxiety?
I was still experiencing a lot of pain, and this time it was without Crohn's symptoms. Actually, I was centered out in high school because I think I started having, I was missing a lot of school. I was probably exhibiting a lot of behaviors that trouble, what do you even call it? Troubled children? I guess I was a troubled child because there's school counselor set up a meeting for me with a therapist, and I had to meet with him once a week to talk about what was going on. And it was somebody outside of my family started to notice, and that was probably the most serious thing.
So how did you go about overcoming these challenges? What made you stronger?
I got a lot weaker. For a long time.
So, if you could send any message to the community about the need for mental health support, what would you say?
Don't give in to your brain. I let my heart guide me a lot of the time, and that's probably what gets me through the most. Oh dear, I'm crying. But seriously, let your heart decide, because your brain's really stupid sometimes and makes up lies to you.
You mean I didn't really have that lunch with George Lucas?
Yeah, I think that might be some schizocam.
If you could see any one thing added to the community in terms of supports for people out there.
Oh my God, free therapy visits for anybody who needs it. Okay, pharmacists are consultants. They'll give you free advice for any medication that you're taking, and they are obligated by their degree and by law to give you the proper medical advice that you need and to make sure that all of your scripts go well together. So anytime you take a new medication and the doctor tells you to talk to your pharmacist, do it. But if you're not taking any medication, then, you're kind of screwed because you have to deal with the government system and healthcare coverage, and they don't have that for adults. So there should be free, accessible healthcare for mental health for all adults.
So your anxiety journey, that had an influence on your work with Crohn's and colitis. It's actually had the effect of making things better for others who have been struggling.
Oh, thanks, Cam.
So what are your thoughts on that, all those out there who might be in a place where they're just afraid to talk about it?
I think I did it in a weird way. I don't have Crohn's, but I volunteered very passionately for that charity. And I did have some experience in it, but it's probably weird that I didn't volunteer for something like for mental health. It's just scary when at first, but if you volunteer in like a health related area, you can meet a lot of really great people like Cam, who are willing to open up and talk to you about your experiences very honestly, and that is the best.
So what are the next steps in your journey?
Well, I hope to continue working on my degree, and I know that even with like health setbacks, I don't want to let anything get in the way of like having a really strong professional career. So I'm going to study hard and apply for a PharmD, and fingers crossed I get in and finish my doctorate. But that would be the best accomplishment for me.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this.
Thank you very much, Cam, for having me, as always.
Of course. Joanna's story, folks, really inspires me, so much as it really is mind over matter. It's one thing to say, I have these problems, and I'm going to be ruled by them. I'm never going to get out of bed in the morning, because the world's too much of a big and scary place. But Joanna has done something remarkable with it. She has not only found her own way of dealing with it. She's out there. She's talking about it. She wants the world to know that there is hope. She's saying that people can achieve. They can be a part of society. They don't have to miss anything on account of anxiety or depression, any of those things. I'd like to ask someday all of society, why do we build up these walls around these matters? Why do we make them different than other disabilities? How is it we can have compassion for someone who suffers paralysis, but when it comes to things like mental health, we shy away? Truth is, we really do need to look at things from the other standpoint. We do need to see that this is one part of who a person is. And yes, it is something they have to deal with. But is it something that can be dealt with? That's the question. Or are we going to shy away, veer away, because it's not something we're familiar with? See through the veil, folks. See through the clouds and the myths and the illusions that say mental health is something to be shied away from. It's something to be feared. Look at it instead. Something to be treated. Something to be managed. Something that does not have to break somebody. Joanna's spirit, in telling her story, that was a strong act. A brave act. And the fact is, for someone who has a mental health condition, anxiety, depression, what have you, just getting out there and being willing to share that story, that can be a huge leap. But it sends a very clear message to this community that you're not alone. You don't have to face it alone. If you're someone with a story of disability life, write HandyLink 4, HandyLink, and the numeral 4, gmail.com. Always love to hear from you folks at home. We all have something that makes us special, something that makes us unique. And as I've said so many times before, we do not want to be that society that creates the impossible standard. Oh, can't include you because you have anxiety. Oh, can't include you because you have paralysis. Can't include you because your eyes are this or that color. Eventually, you create a standard to which no one can live up. When it comes to mental health, there are myths, there are stigmas. Why? Why indeed? Are we really so confused of a society that we're going to say these people aren't entitled to our help simply because they have a condition that we don't yet fully understand? The mind is the most powerful instrument we have. It's the most complex. Therefore, it stands to reason it's going to take some more time for us to understand things about certain mental health conditions. But we are advancing. We are growing in our society. And our understanding of what makes a person unique, special. I know the problems won't be solved overnight. I know that it is a matter of education. It is a matter of taking time and courage, as Joanna demonstrated, to talk about these matters openly, without hesitation, without fear. But little by little, folks, we can change that landscape. We can grow beyond our own infant understanding, if you will. We can bring mental health into a place where it's accepted, it's treated, it's understood, as with any other disability. The fact is, disability life is about a different way of thinking. If you're someone with an anxiety disorder or with depression, that is another way of thinking. You think to yourself, okay, so I have anxiety about doing this. But is there some way I can control it? Is there something I can do to desensitize myself? Are there steps forward I can take? Now, one of the things Joanna mentioned that really stood out for me was the mention of her family support. That's key. That is one of the fundamentals of getting through any given situation. The fact is, we all have to take time and effort to understand what makes us who we are. Disability life is all about that understanding, that search for what works for you. If you bring the shadow of what it is to have a mental illness, if you bring that into the light, it can't hold its own. It won't stand to our talking about it, our scrutinizing it. And honestly, if you're brave enough to take that step forward, there's no telling how many further steps you can go. You can become something stronger, someone stronger. But the first step is realizing you're not alone and you're not the only one. It's a matter of accepting yourself as you are and learning to work with it, learning to embrace the gifts you do have. We all have those things that we envy others for, things we wish we could do, things we wish we could be. For those who have depression or anxiety, I'm sure a lot of it stems from the idea of, oh, I wish I could be out there like so-and-so. But it doesn't have to be as big of a limitation as we impose. Taking a step forward, trying something new, even if it's very small, can be a great act of empowerment. And the more of those you build up, the less you're in the shadows, the less the fear conquers you. People with these conditions are just people of strength and character, as anyone else in society. But it's up to us to recognize this. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you, we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. You've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.